Hey, it's Dina Blizzard, and you're watching One Funny Morning.
Welcome to One Funny Morning Show.
From Monday to Friday.
And sometimes on Saturday.
Why would you say that in front of all these people?
You never know what's going to happen.
Carmen.
Cortez.
Good morning, everybody.
What's outside your weather door?
Good morning.
Uppy, uppy.
Uppy, everybody.
Why isn't it playing?
Hi, I'm Andrea. We're live from the LaVoy Theater. I love you. Get away from me with Dina Blizzard, Guy, Lady Guy, and Dean. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi.
And now your host,
Dina Blizzard.
Good morning. Good morning. We're late. We're on location. There's a lot happening. Good morning. I know I was running around. I've already been to Philly and back. I've already been to a Starbucks. And now, oh, yeah, I can see Di in my rearview mirror. Huh?
There's a voice on here.
Oh, so it's a big day. We're at the Dunkin' Donuts. And no, I wish I was at a dealership right now. Hello. Hi, Joanne. You have. It's so nice to meet you. Oh, my beautiful mom.
And you look just like her.
You think so?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so nice.
And you look him, right?
I do.
And you're coming down here for my father.
I am. We're live right now. Oh, you want to say hi? Yeah, yeah. And you're not on. They can't see you.
Can I call my sister then?
Yeah, you can call whoever you'd like. Tell them to watch.
It's a shame. I don't know how to do the Facebook watch.
Yeah, oh, Facebook Live. Yeah, do you have Facebook?
Yeah, but I'm not good at it.
Yeah, yeah. Here, give it to me. I'll show you.
Let me call my sister.
Let me just do some text support. Oh, call her first. Yeah, do what you got to do. I did, Athena. I had it all ready to decorate, and but I'm not there. So tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. You can come sit over here, Barb. Well, we'll probably leave this one open because we'll rotate people through. And then, yeah, there you go. Good morning. It is a dirty parking lot, so we're one step away from a dirty parking lot. Good morning, TikTok. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. I hope you have a great day as well. We are live, and you're never going to guess why we're at the Dunkin' Donuts, because we're attending Breakfast Bunch. If you've been following us for any bit of time, you know that my mom, lunch bunches, breakfast bunches, dinner bunches, snack bunches, sleep bunch. She's going to bunch everything. I did used to be on New Jersey 101.5 Med Shop. This is basically where I went after I left the radio. I was like, let's just go live from the Dunkin' Donuts and call it a show. And this is what I do every day. So you can find me here. I'm live with Breakfast Bunch. So here's the irony. So of all the days, Joe is not here today. Famous Joe from the Lunch Bunch. But the reason why we're here is if you had watched last week by any stretch, we were doing the show and my mom called in from Lunch Bunch because they were having such a good time. And while she was here, she said, I'm here. I'm with Trudy. I'm with Hank. I'm with Barb, Joe, Hank, and Hank. And I was like, how many people named Hank are there? And she said, just one Hank. And I said, you've mentioned three Hanks. So apparently there's only one Hank. And 2 days ago was Hank's 97th birthday. And I said, well, then we have to have a party. So he showed up today. This is for Hank. Happy 90s. Di made it. It's not from the Dunkin' Donuts. So today we are celebrating Hank's 97th birthday. He is getting coffee at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, different person met Chef. Yeah. He's not my, yeah, Joe, not my boyfriend from Lunch Bunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not here. And then Hank said he didn't want to come because none of the boys was coming. And then Di forced him to come. So this is forced birthdays. We're big into them. Uh-huh. So we're calling it Wisdom Wednesday. I believe that when you talk to a 97-year-old, you're going to get hit with some wisdom. I did say 97. And I'm like, if at 97, you shouldn't be the center of a morning show, I don't know at what age you would be. So we're going to meet Hank in a few minutes. I'm hoping that this cookie is gluten-free. And it's a forced birthday. Mm-hmm. Can I eat anything there? No, I can't. I don't really drink coffee, and I can't eat a donut. I ate an egg white egg bite before I got here, because Dean had to drive me to the city to go get a car for the day, because I got a bebop. Today's a bebop day. God bless Hank. My mom will be 95 on April 2nd. Oh, my goodness. They do have chai tea. I should just get a regular tea. Di, can you get me a hot tea with, if they have like soy milk and sugar? Yeah, tea. Yeah, and sugar, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to do that. Pretend you didn't hear me just say sugar. It's been a long, yeah. It is musical cars. Renee, I literally, all I had was the key to Jacqueline's car and a location. It was like a game called Where's Jacqueline's Car in the City. I was basically stealing it. Where's Joe? I know. So Joe had to babysit grandkids today, so he's not here. Of all the days. Mm-hmm. My pop is a baby compared to them. He'll be 90 in May. Baby, Athena. He can't be on the show for 7 more years. No, he could be on the show. Anytime. Hank! Hank, come on over.
You don't want to know me.
Okay. All right, Hank, let me get your chair set. You're all set. Hank, look at you. What do they have?
Oh, come on. Get me off of there.
No, it's your birthday party. Hold on. Almond milk is fine. All right. So everybody. Oh, wait. Hold on. Try again. TikTok got messed up. Hank, I heard it's your birthday.
No, it's not. That was yesterday. You're late.
Oh, my. You're 97 in one day. So we're a little bit behind, but we're happy to have you. It's nice to meet you.
You don't know me.
I know, but we heard about you because the other day my mom popped in on the live and she said, I'm sitting here with Hank, Trudy, Hank, Barb, Hank, Joe. And I said, how many people named Hank are there? She goes, just one. I go, well, you mentioned him three times. So we wanted to come and meet the man who my mom believes is three men.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're from the church. These are church jokes he's doing. So, Hank, what was the coolest thing about your 97th birthday?
The people.
What did you do for your birthday?
I spent most of my day yesterday with a group of former students.
Oh, you were a teacher?
Principal.
Oh, tell us about it. Did you start out as a teacher? I'm guessing
you heard
so.
You heard the name Widener, I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
Well, I had a nice relationship with the Widener family.
Like the actual Wideners? Because I only know it as like Widener College, but you know the actual.
You know the original. You know, the
I don't. You're 97, so I feel like you have a couple more years on me. I feel like you know Jesus, maybe no. Moses, and the original Wideners is what you're
Peter
saying.
Peter H.E. Widener was a butcher, believe it or not.
No.
He started out as a butcher before he got into big things.
He did?
Yeah. He lost a son and a grandson on the Titanic. And it's quite a family. But my school was the Widener Memorial School for Orthopedically Handicapped Children.
Wow.
And it was endowed by the family, although it was a public school, very unique thing. And the endowment, it was crazy because what crazy principal would send a handicapped group of Girl Scouts to Mexico for a jamboree.
Is that?
I did. You know,
but that sounds very interesting. How long were you the principal for?
15 years.
15 years?
There. And the.
You got pictures.
The. Yeah, fine, quick.
Okay.
But the. Most of the kids that I'm meeting with now are not my former students, because I retired quite a few dozen years ago.
Okay.
So, but this.
Hank, they're loving you. You got a lot of fans here. They said you look fine, but they said it like that.
It's a condition called progeria.
Oh.
These kids age prematurely.
I've heard of that.
And we, with the Sunshine Foundation, I fell in love with that young girl. She was from Mexico. And
wow.
With the Sunshine Foundation, she died about a year after that picture was taken.
Wow.
That was one of the...
So, Hank, how many kids you have? I met your daughter.
Oh, God.
Hold on. I got to fix this TikTok. Hold on. We're on location, so some of the technology is a little...
Mm-hmm. See, when I was young with the Stanley Cup.
Let me show everybody. All right, so this is Hank when he was younger. Now, why are you standing next to the Stanley Cup?
Because if it sticks in, who was part owner of the Flyer at that time, sent it up to my school for the kids to see. And that's it.
Wow. What year do you think this is?
1975 or 76.
Wow. Look at how strapping you are. Slick hair, Hank. Look at you.
I'm going to go on a ego trip here.
Yeah. Hank, all these ladies are trying to hook you up with their moms. Yeah. Yeah. So give us some highlights. So, Hank, I know we just met, but I missed the first 97 years of your life. So, just fill me in. So, you were a principal for 15
born
years.
Born and raised in Fishtown.
Born and raised in Fishtown. Okay.
And
born and raised there your whole life. Did you ever live anywhere else other than here?
Well, from Fishtown to Runnymede. That's the way it was.
Fishtown to Runnymede.
And, got into special education almost by accident, and, I had to put a lot of different things together in this here, how I got into special education.
Okay.
But getting into college was the first big thing.
What college did you go to?
Big Villanova.
Villanova big guy.
Big V. And the only reason way I got into college was through the GI Bill.
Okay.
And
what branch of the service were you in?
U.S. Navy.
Okay.
And ironically, I always used to tell my students I never graduated high school. And they look at me, well, how'd you become a principal? I said, I cheated.
Well, did you graduate high school?
Nope.
But you went to college.
I got into the service. And at that point in time, if you had all of your college units together, you were accepted into college. So anyhow, I volunteered to go into the Navy in January, right before the war, the tail end of the war.
Wow.
And fortunately, I was in naval aviation and got into college and got into special education, because it was the only job I was offered in the city of Philadelphia at that time.
So were you a pilot? You said naval aviation. Were you?
I was technically what was called the combat air crew.
Okay.
We were essentially an aerial gunner.
Wow.
But I got the tail end of the war, and thank God they married off the mom. And that was it. As I say, I got the tail end and benefited from the GI Bill of Rights. Otherwise, I'd have probably ended up a truck driver or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they got into special ed, and it was called orthogenic backward when I started.
Orthogenic what?
Backward.
Backward. What does
actually
that mean?
I don't know. But okay. The kids knew.
And I don't either.
The kids knew. They called it OB. Out of brains.
Out of what?
Brains.
Out of brains.
You don't want to hear the stories, you know.
Hank got jokes. Hank got jokes.
But actually, I say this and misinterpreted. It was almost a dumping ground for kids. Allegedly, the kids had IQs from 50 to 75.
Yeah.
But a lot of these kids were around. They were assumed, so to speak, you know. But,
well, you didn't. I don't think there were as many diagnoses. They didn't know what to do with kids, so everybody got lumped together,
as
too.
I say, at that point in time, less than 50 IQ kids were not educable. So kids with Down syndrome were not in school at that point in time when I started.
Yeah, yeah.
But fortunately, I got in with a group of people that took me under their wing, and the principal, and I'd say her name frequently, Helen Whitty, shifted me under her wing and guided me in the school system. And ultimately, I got ironically, my goal was Widener. And fortunately, I got there at a time. And as a matter of fact, one of the quote unquote highlights, the last two children that had polio were in my first graduating class.
Wow.
That polio was finished, but earlier on, cerebral palsy, polio, and things of that nature were the bulk of the school.
Right, right.
But they were the final two, believe it or not.
Wow, I believe it. Hank, you're saying a lot of old references, and I'm loving every minute of it. So somebody just said, ask Hank if he's watching Masters of the Air on Apple TV. You might enjoy it due to your past military career. It must be like a series or a show. Yeah. You have Apple TV?
No. I'm not a big TV person.
What's your favorite TV show? What do you watch?
Right now, I have none.
What do you do for fun other than Lunch Bunch and church?
Pie.
Peanut butter and jelly?
No, being able to drive every restricted. A lot of activity. So anytime somebody wants to do something or go something, I'm available.
So are you driving?
Nope.
So you get dressed. So you have, you surround yourself with a lot of ladies to so you could hitch a ride.
Well, obviously, I have three gentlemen.
That's right.
None of whom are here.
None of them. Joe, we've met.
Joe's down the shore. Paul is... at the doctor's today and tomorrow.
Obviously.
And Ron was booked for today, but my daughter preempted him. So
okay.
That's where it was.
All right. But, so now let me ask you this, because I love that you're 97 and you're rocking it, it looks like. Who was your favorite president?
Harry Truman.
You remember Harry Truman.
Harry Truman dropped the bomb and saved my life in my thinking. And he followed up by Dwight Eisenhower. They were my two favorite presidents.
Who's the first president you remember? Like since you were
Roosevelt.
Kids?
Roosevelt. I'm thinking something.
Okay.
Wingo. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, okay.
FDR.
Yeah, I've read about him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Served four terms.
So what year were you born? Let me think. You were
27.
Born... 27. He was born in 1927.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
No,
well,
that's...
Remember you said you were playing football in the street in Philly when you heard about Pearl Harbor?
They were 14 when Pearl Harbor happened.
Well, they didn't know what Pearl Harbor was. It was a Sunday, right? You went to church, and then they were playing, and then they're like, oh, my God. You know, the dates were limited to me.
Wow.
People on the East Coast knew much about Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was only 14.
Yeah.
So, wow.
You know, they were from Fishtown.
Nobody knew how to play.
What was your favorite game to play as a kid?
Football.
Do you have a favorite team now?
Eagles.
Okay.
First football game I saw was the Eagles versus Green Bay Packers.
I love that you say the Eagles. You didn't say Eagles. You said the Eagles.
Eagles. Philadelphia people do not say Eagles. They say Eagles.
Duh.
That's true. It's spelled I-G-G, not E-A.
Can you sing the Eagles song?
Friday goes by.
Hank, what's your, if you were in the Miss America pageant, what would your talent be?
That's
a good question.
Would you be a jokester? I don't really have
that. What would your, like, yeah, like, did you play any instruments?
No.
Could you juggle?
No.
Wiggle your ears? Play the spoons? Wash laundry on a board? What do you have?
You have to have something that you were good at.
Yeah. How would you woo the ladies, Hank? What would you do? Would you be like, I got a card trick. I found a penny behind your ear. What do you got? Do you do something? Oh. Because dance halls. Did you go to the dance halls?
Jitterbug.
Jitterbug. Yeah.
There is not a person alive today that knows how to jitterbug.
Do you?
Yep.
Can you show me?
Nope. I don't have my nitro with me.
What's the nitro for?
Keep me going.
Keep your heart pumping?
Yeah.
Is the jitterbug this one?
No, it's seriously. When you go out, it's a women, some women can.
It's a what?
But there are very, very few people that can.
Is the jitterbug by yourself or with another person?
When I dance, I want to hold my honey. It's as simple as that. Kids today just go this way. You know, I want to hold my honey.
So a jitterbug, you hold your honey.
You have various moves you make. You have a pivot, and then if you know the girl,
right,
and you dance with her frequently, you have different kinds of movements that you do. So you get.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do the jitterbug right over here.
You want to sing?
Yes, I can.
It's very fast. I learned a jitterbug in the 50s.
Yeah, but. That's you think about a special talent.
Yeah, you got. Well, it sounds like you're a dancer.
Oh, yes, you do that. Oh, that was the growing up dancing, you know? Funny, I don't really have a specific talent.
It feels like you do, Hank. I feel like I'm trying to convince you that you can dance. Why am I trying to convince you of that? I feel like you told me you could, and I'm just reiterating back to you. American Bandstand, do you ever go see that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah?
Yeah.
Hank, you just pulled your hanky out. Now, I'm going to tell you, why do you think that the hanky has fallen away? Because you're like one of the last generations to use the hanky. I think about it. I'm being serious. I'm being serious. Right? Like, you don't see. I'm 51, Hank. I don't know if you could tell. I'm 51. Right? And dad would have been in the 70s. So I feel like 75 plus is hanky range. But then it falls away. Well, why do you think that is?
But why do I use a hanky? Because when you were a kid, you used your sleeve.
And they still do.
They still do. Uh-huh.
That's the automatic. I go, why
were
you doing that?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand, but there's no more hankies anymore. People don't do it. It's gone away.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it.
Yeah. Have you seen anybody else with a hanky besides you or anybody at Lunch Bunch?
Now that you mention it, I don't know.
Take everybody out of Lunch Bunch and just think about.
I really don't know. That's something I didn't observe. But whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let me ask you something, because I just started talking about this the other day. So I have a son, Dean, he's 24, and I taught him to be a gentleman. Mm-hmm. So he's got to hold the doors. He's got to pull out the chairs. Mm-hmm. And then I was telling him about this thing where if you're walking down the street with a gentleman and you're walking down the street, that the gentleman would move the lady closer to the inside of the curb and the man would walk on the outside.
Precisely.
But that is not something a lot of young men do or even know that they're supposed to do.
And opens the door and holds the door
for us. Well, I have certain theories.
Tell me. Tell me your theories, Hank. Hit me.
How do I say this?
Tell me.
When we were growing up, the worst words that we could hear from somebody else is, I'm going to tell your mother. And in the old neighborhood, every woman was your mother, in essence. And if you did something, your mother was there to correct you. More so, the father had the strap.
Mm. Diana had the strap.
Yeah. But
don't
we never
fool you.
Dad never used a strap because I never, if after the first time I told my mom that sister hit me, after I told her she sister hit me, she smacked me. And then she asked me why. Then when I told her why, I smacked again. Well, for the next how many years, sister never hit me because I would never tell mom. No, but seriously, the it's a matter of having rules and regs. My kids, when my kids, when they were in school, certain things they could do. No phone calls up to a certain point in time.
Oh.
They had to do their homework. And if they were late for curfew, the time was taken off the next curfew.
Oh, I never heard of that. That's so if they if the curfew was 10 and they showed up at 10:30, now their curfew's 9:30.
They owed me a half hour.
They owed you a half hour. I like that.
They would try to pick something where they had to do something. You know, it wouldn't be the next day if they had something to plan. Oh, you just lost it.
Hank just jumped ahead of Jeff on my left. The ladies are loving you, Hank.
Oh, come on.
They're loving you. So now you have a beautiful daughter here. How many other kids do you have?
I have three more daughters and a son.
Wow.
Father of five.
Father of five. All right. And you were married? Are married? Where are you with that?
What's that?
Married?
Yeah, certainly.
Widower.
Widower?
So you live right up here in Rutherford.
Yeah. Nice.
I went to Triton. I knew her father
because
he was a big football player.
Oh, that's so funny.
But at the time, it was Triton Red and Triton Blue.
Yeah, yeah, because Di was in the blue and my dad was in the red or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, ridiculous because people lived across the street from me went to a different school.
My next youngest brother also taught at Triton.
Okay. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
There were seven of us in the family.
Because everybody had big families back then.
Three and three.
Three and three. Well, that's... Seven.
Plus me, yeah. I was seven.
All right, just making sure we're good at math. I was like, three and three is six. Yep. Okay. So how long were you married?
64 years.
64.
My mother's been gone 10 years.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. That's a huge accomplishment. That's not a whatever. I only made it to 24 years. You beat me three times over. I'd have to get married two more times to just add it up. Wow. That's amazing. And you grew up Catholic, right?
Yeah.
And you went to, did you go to Catholic school or like CCD?
Catholic parochial school, Northeast Catholic High School, Villanova University.
Okay.
Temple for the masters.
Now, how about your grammar school? They only talk in Polish. Right?
What?
Tell them about St. Laurentius.
Was St. Laurentius only, they only taught you in Polish?
Yeah. We were bilingual, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Are you Polish by trade? By trade.
Oh,
by
100%.
By trade, you earned. You went to school to become Polish?
Therein lies the story.
Because I thought you were Italian.
No.
What's your last name, Hank?
It's Blazczyk.
Well, okay, you're Polish.
It's got a CZ in it.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of consonants.
My advisor at Villanova suggested that I change my name because I would never get any place with that big Polish name. So I said, Dr. Brown, let me tell you something. I grew up in a relatively poor family, and my parents didn't have a great deal to give me. I said, well, my father gave me a good name, and I'll be damned if I'll change it.
There you go.
Yeah. And Dina, here's another fun fact.
Okay.
When I was at Triton High School, his brother, Mr. Blazak, was my English teacher.
No, it became very simple because I was no longer, we say Blazczyk, it's more so in Polish. I became Mr. B.
Okay.
And that was my name throughout my entire career.
And so in this community in Philly, this church, this school that you went to, so you're Polish? Did they speak any English or was everything?
Oh, no, we were bilingual. We had the instruction in English, and then we had Polish grammar, Polish history. Religion was in Polish. And the conversation with the nuns, sometimes they would give you instructions in Polish, sometimes it would be English and so forth. So our report card had two pages, one for English and one for Polish.
Wow.
And you got grades for both kind of thing.
Really?
But unfortunately, we didn't live in the Polish neighborhood, per se.
Right.
And from lack of usage, you know, you lose the language.
I was going to ask you, can you speak in Polish?
Yes,
what does that mean?
And Poland will never go away as long as we're living.
Wow. How do you say I love you in Polish?
Jacek kocham.
Who?
Say that again. Jacek kocham.
Jacek kocham. It's not a romantic moja language.
You heard of moja droga, Jacek.
It's not amore.
Bobby Vinton.
Jacek konasz.
You heard you sang in Polish, Bobby Vinton. Moja droga, Jacek kocham. More than that, with Polish.
Oh, and Jitterbug. Singing Jitterbug. So what, did your wife speak any Polish? Is that how you wooed her with your hasha?
Well, I think I was married for 3 years before my mother talked to my Irish wife.
Oh, she was Irish. That's amazing. Look, Sylvia said, give Hank my number. I'd love to talk to him in Polish. I think he only sings.
Well, it's just little word phrases come back to you.
Little phrases.
But that was quite fluent. But nevertheless, we didn't speak it at home as a primary language. And if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. They said he speaks Polish. He sings in Polish. Lovely. Mm-hmm. All right. So you go to Villanova. How did you meet your wife?
Dancing.
You wooed her with your moves, Hank?
I have a story.
Tell
about
me.
That.
Wait, before you tell me the story, let's do this. Is this gluten free? Can I eat this?
Yep, you want it?
Diana.
Sing happy birthday.
Is it gluten free? Thank God, because it's staring at it. Oh, no. Let's sing happy birthday in Polish. How do you say happy birthday in Polish?
I don't know.
Sylvia, tell us. Sylvia, tell us how to say happy birthday in Polish, and we're going to sing to you in Polish once Sylvia tells us. Somebody better kill that bell, or I'm going to punch it right in the face.
Let me sing.
Whatever that bell is.
It's a driving
lady. Happy birthday.
Oh, is
perfect.
It?
Somebody
drawing
up. Oh, here it is. She says it's Stolat, Stolat.
Stolat means 100 years. Stolat, Stolat. Yes, so la. That's something like that.
Someday, let's do that.
Stolat means 100 years.
Right.
Stolat, Stolat. Nice. She says it's Nike, Zein, Schnamm. Nice, Zein, Schnamm.
Yeah. I can't say it, but I don't know.
Yeah. Let's just stick with Stolat. All right, ready? Stolat, Stolat.
That means 100 years.
100 years. I know. We're going to be here every Wednesday.
My mom made
102.
What?
And mom lived by herself at 102.
How about your dad?
Dad died when he was 64.
You clearly have your mom's genes.
Good Polish genes and working with kids. That's the secret.
What are you eating that makes you so young and vibrant? You know, a lot of times you'll hear those stories. They'll find some lady in China that's like 120, and then all she did was eat ketchup. Like, no. What do you eat the most of, Hank? What do you eat?
Anything that's put on the table. We couldn't be fussy. Growing up during the Depression, you couldn't be fussy. You ate what was on the table.
Is it your birthday? Then no, we're not going to have you blow out the candles because it's not your birthday. She just said, should I blow out the candle?
What do you want to win?
Here we go. All right, Hank, you ready?
What?
You have to make a wish. He's really thinking it. Ready? I'm out.
Blow it out?
Go ahead. Woo! You were all invited to Hank's 97th birthday plus one day. Mm-hmm. So what do you eat all the time? Anything in particular?
No, not particularly.
You don't have like a favorite dessert?
Not particularly.
If you could eat anything, what would you eat?
I would probably eat seafood.
Essentially,
seafood is my primary dish.
That's the secret.
Given my druthers.
Your druthers. Got it. You don't hear druthers a lot. I like that you use that word. All right.
God bless you. Happy birthday.
He wants to go around in the police car with all the lights on later. Is that possible? He's 97.
Yeah, you can definitely stop.
Okay, that's where we're going next. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're dating. Okay.
So it's his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Did you know Kevin
Poitras? Yes.
He's my
girlfriend's husband. I love how your daughter's always making the connections. She's always making the connections.
I used to say I had four mothers. I don't have four daughters anymore. I have four mothers.
Now, somebody just said, what was your favorite Polish food growing up?
My Polish food? Chanina.
What's chanina?
Chanina is duck soup.
It is.
Okay. Now, in those days, you would go to the... what is old chicken store with a can of vinegar or a jar full of vinegar.
Okay.
And the guy in the store would cut the throat of the duck and let the blood go into the vinegar. Okay. And then your mother would take the vinegar and the duck, the duck blood, and cook it with the duck parts the same way you would make chicken soup.
And look, then, Kathy just said duck's blood soup. She knows it.
Chardonnina means black. Okay. And the soup was kind of orange. And then it'd either make, Mama used to make homemade noodles, and some people used to put prunes in it. And somebody, ooh, you eat blood? Drink blood? Anybody eat a rare steak? I said, well, at least we cook our blood before we eat it.
But I heard of that soup. It says added grapes, and we thought they were duck eyes. So you said chicken store. You mean a butcher shop?
No, they had chicken store. All they did was sell chickens and ducks.
They just had a chicken store.
They sold chicken.
Never heard of a chicken store.
They had one down in South Philadelphia, right in the corner, where I used to get it sometimes. But ironically, none of my sisters ate chanina, but all the boys did.
So chanina is this duck soup with the duck blood and the thing and the eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And
but, so nice meeting you. Thanks for sharing your dad with us today.
They have their neighbors.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, people would think that kielbasa is the other one.
Okay.
I enjoy it, but that's about it.
Not the same.
But ironically...
chanina.
Yeah, but ironically, the soup was always better the next day because the vinegar that you use to get the blood was a day older, and the soup was always better the next day. And when that mom used to make it after we got married, it was almost as if television or the brain waves came out. We knew that she was making it without even going there, you know. But
somebody said that there's a chicken store in Providence, Rhode Island still.
It may well be, but all they did, and all the chickens you bought were alive. It was as simple as that. And
she said, my grandmother used to have to kill the chickens.
Yeah. You cover them by the neck and twist
them. I told you my mother used to have to do that.
Could you imagine if somebody was like, guys, I'm going to make chicken parm. They're like, you got to kill this chicken first. I'd be like, I'm not eating chicken parm.
Well, you look at the coop. You look at the coop and shell. Take that one. The guy would grab it. Take it out.
No.
Then they would take the feathers out.
No. No. Could you imagine that we're so bougie right now? If you wanted to have a steak, you're like, go ahead, kill that cow. Bring it in. You want bacon? You see that pig?
Beef was not a kind of a thing in the Polish cuisine. Lamb was. Lamb was more popular than beef. Way back when, you know.
Oh, it's time for your birthday, KK. Did you know when you woke up this morning is going to be your big birthday party? It's a surprise. That's how we got you.
Surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say every day that if it weren't for my handicap, what we call them, the Rolling Rebels. And I call you guys the churchies.
Okay. The churchies.
If it wasn't for the churchies, I would be in a bunny farm someplace.
Okay. Yeah.
You're in the bunny farm with us.
No, you're still in the bunny farm. Just good friends. So tell me about how you met your wife.
I was dancing.
Okay.
And I saw this beautiful blonde girl. We were out looking for a place to dance. It was a Saturday night.
You and the fellas.
Yeah. Said we went into this place to dance, and I see this beautiful girl dancing up there. I said, "Went up, may I have this dance?" Yeah, when you dance in those days, you had what they call it. You're too slow in the dance, in the fast one. You had three dances when you went with the girl. The set. It was called a set.
So how old are you in this story?
19,
18
or
19. Okay. So if you ask a girl to dance, then she's locked in for three dances? Is that what you're saying? Yep. And well, I didn't know that.
I had another set, and then I said, can I take you home? And she said, yes.
What? That's not, doesn't mean the same thing.
And I asked her for a date, and she said yes. And I asked her for a few more dates. And after about a year or so of courtship, after she learned how to spell my name right, I said, yes.
Tell them how you spell your name.
It's Blaszczyk. And the S-Z-C-Z is quite common in Polish, believe it or not. But I always kidded about it. But she learned to spell it, and I said yes.
Now, Hank, let me ask you something. How differently do you think it would be? Because now I'm divorced. If I was out and a nice gentleman asked me to dance, and at the end of the night, if he said to me, can I take you home, what do you think that would mean now?
It's a bedmate.
So you do get it, Hank. Mm-hmm. All right, Carrie said, how did you propose?
It was just one of those things. You grew into it, kind of. You know, you date, you keep going on. You got the approval of the...
You asked her father.
And so forth. And that was it. You just didn't propose. It was almost a natural kind of a thing. But
grew into it.
I mean, everybody in the gang ever knew what was going on. You talk about gang.
They knew you were taking her home.
Yeah. You walk, too. But nevertheless, you talk about gangs. You didn't know what gangs were in the old days. They were in the gang that I grew up with. We had 30 guys in the gang. And the gang up the street, they had three generations of gang, believe it or not. They were called the onions. They had the little onions, the middle onions, and the big onions. But
why did they call them onions?
I don't know. Till this day, I don't know. But anyhow, we all went to the same schools and things of that nature. We hung out together, went to church together. There was no problem. If there was a fight, there was two guys in a gang. And after the fight, if you're old enough, you went to a bar and beer. You want to see the cup?
What was the drinking age then? Like four?
Whenever you can get it in. Whenever you can get it.
It's like,
whenever you want to drink.
Yeah.
No.
Prohibition as well. How'd that go for you?
I don't know.
I kept drinking.
It was a goofy kind of a thing. If dad had or mom had got a couple quarts of beer and brought it home, they'd give you a glass of beer or something, like, no matter how old you were. But you never went into a... You knew which bars would serve you when you were less than 21.
Okay.
You just knew it. And when I attended bar for a while when I was in college. And if a kid came in and I looked at him and I didn't think he was 21... I didn't ask him for an age card. I said, I'll give you one beer and get the hell out of here.
Wow. Way to lay down the law. You're like, I'm going to give you a beer. And then you have to go.
Yeah. And the word got around that you don't go to that place. He won't serve you.
All right. If you're just joining us, this is One Funny Morning. We are doing our first, what we're calling Wisdom Wednesday, where we just find old people and talk to them and hear your wisdom.
You're
the first person.
Wow.
You're inaugural. So Hank just turned 97 yesterday. So we decided the best way we could celebrate is to share Hank with all of you.
Yeah.
So somebody asked earlier, hold on, what was your first car? Model T.
A 1948 Chevy Coupe.
Okay.
The first car.
Did it have like the wings and?
No, yeah. It was a coupe, just
round,
the two-door coupe.
All right.
Cost $400 and some.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you say $400?
Right.
Okay, because Hank, I'm trying to buy a car right now, and it is anywhere near. I'll be lucky if my monthly payment is less than that.
From that point on, one of my cohorts in the teaching school. He had moonlit down at Ace Motors in Woodbury. And anytime I needed a new car, he would actually drop a car off in front of my house. and leave it there so I could try it. And I think I bought at least six cars. And I know my daughter's the first car they bought her in Ace Motors because he would know specific cars. And bingo, kind of
thing. Wow. Wow. All right, there's a couple other questions in here for you. What was the first job that you got paid to do? Like, I used to pick blueberries and blackberries.
14 years old, working on a soda truck. Hires root beer. $1 a day.
What's a soda truck?
It's a delivered soda. We delivered Hires root beer to the various grocery stores and
I thought you meant like a milk truck that would do residential. No. This was business. I was like, they delivering soda?
A case of soda was 80 cents, believe it or not. And you sold it for a nickel, and you got 2 cent deposit on the bottle. And one of the things on trash day, if you saw any of those 2 cent bottles, you picked them up and hid them, put me to come home from school. Where were they? Movies was 11 cents. And my first check from the school district of Philadelphia for a half a month was $86.
Wow.
My yearly salary was $2,400.
Wow. What?
That's why every main teacher in those days had a secondary job.
Wow. How much was gas? Somebody asked, how much do you think gas
there,
was?
During the 50s, along Admiral Wilson Boulevard, there used to be gas wars. There must have been 50 gas stations on
gas
there.
Gas wars?
And they would have a gas war going on. And the gas price, the lowest I've ever seen it, was between 12 and 19 cents a gallon.
So the war was to try to be as low as possible.
There must have been 30 gas stations on Wilson Boulevard. And each one would be lower than the next one. So when you went, work in the morning, go over the bridge, you'd see what the gas on the other side was. And then when you come home, that's where you would go.
It's cheaper in Jersey than Philly.
Wow. It is still cheaper in Jersey than it is in Philly.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about that the other day up on Kings Highway in the Black Horse Pike. There was a Merritt gas station. I don't know whether you remember it. And Merritt gas station was an independent, and the major gas companies wanted to buy it. They wanted it off the market because they were always lower than the big ones. And Merritt held out for quite a while.
Wow. You know. So Nancy is watching. And she said her father went to the University of Pennsylvania, and his tuition was $125 in 1934. Do you remember what your tuition was for Villanova?
I would say it was $250 or something like that. I was a day student. I didn't live on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was $2,400, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not too sure.
What do you think it is now?
My grandson was just checking with Villanova. Live on campus.
Right.
$80,000. $80,000 a year.
You got a deal. You got a deal.
Well, knowing my grandson, well, it's a long story too, because he's ultimately going to try and get a teaching job at Villanova.
Hmm.
Get a teaching job at Villanova, tuition free.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Wayne's first son, John.
So Kate wants to know if you played basketball at Villanova.
Nope.
Do you were a sporty fellow at all?
Or you just wanted to dance with the honeys?
If dancing with the honeys is a sport, then yes.
The critical moment in my life was a game playing football against St. John's in Villanova, in Philadelphia. St. John's was a school in Mount Young. I was playing football. And my goal in playing football was to get a football scholarship. That was my goal. In spring, we were getting ready for practice in the fall. And I made a tackle and my shoulder went boop. End of career. That's one of the reasons why I joined the Navy in my senior year. I was completely and totally frustrated. So I figured, let me get out of school. And I wasn't thinking anything. College was out of my thing, you know. And that was it. But that was the critical moment in my life.
The turning point.
Absolutely. Because from that point on, the Navy, G.I. Bill of Rights, college, teaching, right down the line.
Wow.
It's amazing. But I had a sequence of things why I think God chose me to be a special educator. You want to hear a
yes.
story? living on one on my house in Old Fish Town, there was a neighbor next door. His name was Eddie O'Neill. I'll never forget him. He was in a wheelchair. Okay. Anybody who was quote unquote crippled in those days had polio. That was it.
Wow. Polio.
So one of my first dates, Margaret Mary Malloy.
Oh, we're throwing names out. We're dropping names from 1932.
I took her to home a couple times, and she had two brothers in wheelchairs. It's my second kind of a thing with handicapped people. She had two brothers. I'll get back to that story in a minute. Two brothers in wheelchair. Okay. Then, when I was at St. Laurentius, there was another boy. His name was Pete Homa. He had bad legs. Okay. When I went to Villanova, my advisor had an artificial limb. And let me see who else was. Somebody else was in there. But I was growing up in a sequence of with handicapped people. Now, when I got to Widener, I thought to myself, I wonder if any of these kids ever went to Widener. So I went back into the records. Sure enough, I get Eddie O'Neill. He didn't have polio. He had muscular dystrophy. I went to see Margaret Mary Malloy. Their two brothers. I thought they had polio too. They had muscular dystrophy.
Wow.
Those two kids died by the time they were 15 to 18.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. You know. The other ones, it was goofy. But when I go retrospectively in these things, I think I was put in certain places by the guy upstairs mm-hmm. at certain times. It sounds goofy, but when you start looking at stuff like that,
yeah, you found your purpose.
You think about it, but
you found your purpose. Yeah. I have a moment like that. So ever since I was a kid, I played piano.
Uh-huh.
My sister and I, and my dad's side of the family very musical. Diana can hold a note, but she's a lovely person and she makes snacks. Everybody's got a gift. So my sister and I played piano. We're really good at it, and it was the one thing I was really good at. So I thought, well, God must want me to be a musician. Yeah. That's why he gave me this gift. So I went to Trenton State College at the time, as it was called.
Yeah.
I was a music major. And all I wanted to do was talk to people. Hank. I would knock on everybody's door while they were practicing, all the other music majors. I was like, you want to talk? They were like, no, I want to practice. And I was like, well, that's boring. And I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be a music major. So I left and I dropped out of college. And I took a semester off, became an EMT, worked in kind of medical stuff. I graduate with a biology degree, which nobody saw coming. Got a master's in old people, gerontology. Not helpful at all. Other than today. So it was all for today. Then I had a bunch of babies. And then when I turned 30, I said, I'm going to try stand-up. It's something I always wanted to try. Uh-huh. And I started doing stand-up, and I loved it. And then I realized that, yes, I was good at music, but what I was really good was timing. And if you talk to enough comedians, many of them come from a musical background, right? Because the way that you tell a joke or tell a story, it's all about your timing and how do you hit things or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I think that God puts you on a path and you think he must be wanting me to do this. And then he's like, nope, I don't. I want you to come over here and do this other thing and help people.
Well, you know, I even at one with handicapped disabled kids, I had some exceedingly bright kids.
Yeah.
And we got them into college and you talk about jobs and things of that nature. But I think retrospectively, if I were to say, what should a person do? Set goals. Set goals. I always remember Mary's aunt. She used to say, if I had that money, I'd always give it to Hank because he's always got a goal.
Hmm.
You know.
What's your goal right now at 97, Hank?
To live to be 103. I tell the story. Mom made 102, and I wanted to be 103 because I want to beat her at something. Because when I was growing up, she beat the hell out of me.
Oh, your mom! I like your mom. That's awesome.
Well that's another my mom's story.
She sounds like a fun lady.
Mom lived by herself,
mm-hmm.
and we moved her down to the apartment right down the corner from us in her later years. And I was taking her shopping and things of that nature, doing a little bit of things with her money and all that. My brother comes in from Arizona one day, and I said, Ed, Mom's got money, a little money. And it bothers me because I take her shopping. She's got her purse here and this and the other thing. So he says, how much do you think she's got? I said, well, she may have maybe $1,000, $1,500, somewhere in that general range. So he takes her. Mom didn't trust me, by the way. But anyhow, he takes her shopping, brings her home, and they say, I got a phone call. Mom just leveled with me. Guess how much money she's got? I said, I'll tell you again, $1,500. She had $28,000 in her house, in her purse, and so forth.
In an envelope?
Yeah. So,
that's crazy.
So anyhow,
individual.
Go back into perspective. People who lost money during the Depression did not trust banks.
They didn't trust the banks.
It was as simple as that. So I said, when they come back home, I said, Ed, I want a piece of that money. Because she's been saving it all her life. And when I was 14 years old, I gave her that $4 I made a week. I want it back.
That's my money.
I want it back.
I want it back with interest.
Everybody wants a piece of that money.
Yeah.
Well, Mary's uncle used to be a plumber. He said every once in a while they'd tear a wall out or rip up a floor.
They
find a cash of money.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Did not trust banks.
I've heard that.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah. So if you're just joining us, we are wrapping up now, but we had a great, it's our first Wisdom Wednesday, our first ever featuring Hank. He just turned 97 yesterday. He's from Lunch Bunch, and he usually has Lunch Bunch with Diana. What do you call them? Your churchies?
This is our coffee clutch.
Coffee clutch.
Do something nice for somebody every day.
Who else said that?
Judy from Saskatoon.
And if you don't have a good laugh a day, you've wasted it.
Well, we come here in the morning.
Laugh.
There's certain little philosophical things, you know, that become part of your life and so forth.
Solve the world problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Trudy just left.
Okay.
We're all planning to go see the movie next Tuesday. So I was making a list of everybody's name. And another lady, Peg, was sitting next to me, and she said, who's Trudy? Now, if you mix up an R with
Trudy,
she's not Trudy anymore.
She's Turdy. So you spelled it Turdy? Okay, sure, Turdy loved that.
We shared our coffee clutch. We have lots of fun. We plan things, and so we're planning our little excursion next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And Turdy's coming.
Turdy's coming. So Turdy, three Hanks, and Mother Cabrini.
I'll tell you another little.
Okay, go ahead.
Another little idiosyncrasy. I don't want to use it. I infrequently, that's a better word.
Okay.
Argued with my wife.
Surprising.
Because when she blew her mind, I just sat and listened. I just sat and listened for two reasons. And she finished, are you done now?
Yes.
Okay. Or the other one was, I would never say anything to her when I was angry that I wouldn't say to her when I was not. But silence drove her crazy.
Oh, it makes us nuts.
But it worked. I used the same technique in school. Two kids. But it doesn't count.
Good wisdom to live by. See, we're getting lots of wisdom.
I know. I love it. I love Wisdom Wednesday.
Well, like with two kids and fighting, you have them, you're both wrong. Now, my job is to figure out who is the most wrong. Okay. And they look at me like it was crazy, You want to fight? Let's go. End it right now.
Liz, this is Hank. He is part of my mom's church group and Lunch Bunch and Breakfast Bunch. And he turned 97 yesterday. So we decided, Di introduced us to the Dunkin' Donuts where Breakfast Bunch happens. And so we decided to surprise Hank today and get some wisdom in his 97 years. Now, before we go, I'll leave you with some wisdom. I don't know if you know what a honey door is.
A honey door?
Mm-hmm.
Try it.
Okay, a honey door is when your mom gets to go to the shore with some friends. And I said, you go ahead to the shore. Now, she was bringing Andrea, who you know, cousin Kathy. I knew they were going. So I call her, and I hear her say, Somebody let John in. I said, who's John? you said you were going down with your girlfriends. So she goes, nobody. I met Joni. And I said, you said John. So I go to the Ring doorbell because I can see who got in the house. No John comes in the door. So I'm thinking, how'd she get John in the house without coming through the front door? And then I said, you got a honey door in the back where you bring in the honeys in. There's no camera back there. So a honey door is the back door where you sneak your girlfriends and boyfriends in so you avoid all of the electronics.
Who was John?
Well, look, John is my cousin. Now let's go back a few dozen years.
Okay, let's go back.
All of the houses in the neighborhood had alleys between them.
Honey doors.
Now you sneak up the back alley.
There it is. Hey, where's your honey door? Okay. Di's been holding this card up for an hour. So this is Hank's 95 plus 2.
95
plus 2. Plus 2. So you got to do math for this card. So there you go. All right. So listen, here's what we learned today. Get yourself an alley and a honey door. Learn to jitterbug because it forces you, somebody to hold you real tight and jitterbug. And like Judy from Saskatoon says, and now Hank from Runnymede, do something nice for others. And we say, and for yourself, be kind to yourself, we say too. Some people take on a lot of people's stuff, Hank. Sometimes we got to just say, I'm going to find some peace today. Yeah. So we like to say that as well. Did you have a good time?
Absolutely. Anytime I'm with people, I have a good time. And with people I love, I have a better time.
There you go. Well, we're
never
glad.
Talk a lot because you usually can't get any work.
All the ladies are talking.
Is
Paul a talker?
What? If he were here, I would have been this.
Really? Oh, I haven't met Paul.
Oh.
Now one day you'll have to meet
One Paul. Day when Paul's 97. How old is Paul?
He said he's 88 earlier. But I'll tell you one thing about him when you listen to him and what he says. He will tell you the date, the time, where it was, the name of the people.
You just did the same thing.
Yeah, but I said, well, you got to listen to him. And you would wonder because, you know, I would say maybe I went to Portland, Oregon, and he'll tell you a story about Portland, Oregon with somebody, and he'll give you the date, the time, and the name of the people. And he can't be making it up.
No, he can't be making it up.
I don't know. I feel like you don't know you. I feel like you kind of do the same thing, and you're pretty good at it.
Well, you know. I think one of the things that this interview is, there was nothing morose about it. It was upbeat, happy, and so forth.
Yes.
That's what life should be.
That is what we try to do every morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to look for it, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's there, you know. And I always say, going to breakfast or coffee every morning, that makes my day.
It does.
It makes a day because somebody will say something there. It'll stick in your head for the rest of the day. Or you're stuck. Get the phone out to look to see what it was about and all that, you know.
I know. He was on it. He was on it.
By the way, Shen Yun Dancers?
Yeah.
The cheapest ticket is $85.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I have a story.
Okay.
Don't start me up.
Okay.
There was a group that would tour the Philadelphia schools called Young Audiences.
Okay.
You'd have 3, 4, 5 people. They would come up with woodwinds. They would come up with various instruments.
Okay.
And they would get on stage and they would explain the instrument to the kids and they would play it. You know, the trombones and woodwinds. I scheduled one day, I scheduled for the year, and I scheduled ballet. And after I scheduled ballet, what the heck did I do? I got half the kids in wheelchairs, the other half in braces, and some in crutches. I got ballet. the three girls and the guy come in, and they start explaining ballet to the kid, and they're going through all these movements. I could have heard a pin drop. Mm. Those kids were so into that.
Mm.
Yeah, so into that. It was unbelievable. And from that day, of course, when we were growing up, ballet dancers, you know. But I thought to myself, I would love to see a ballet. Sen Yun or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
they were magnificent.
Yeah. They're everywhere. No matter where I tour, there's a sign for Shen Yun in the city coming up. So, all right, well, we'll have to make a trip. We can make a group trip, and you can come on our trip. All these ladies would love to meet you. We're going to make a trip to go see Shen Yun. Well, it's going to be called, it's Hank's birthday trip.
Australia or...
Okay. All right. Well, that was farther than I thought, but sure, they're in Baltimore. But okay.
One of the jobs that I was offered at when getting out of college, I was offered a job in Alaska.
Wow.
way back when.
Well, we're glad you didn't take it. Yeah.
We're here in this fancy town.
I was offered a job in Japan. And I said to my wife, you know, come here, let's think about it.
She said no.
My wife had she talked with expressions. All she had to do was look at us. You know what the answer was. You know?
She's like, no. All right, so next up, Australia, Shen Yun, Hank's birthday. We'll have tickets up for sale later today. You know we're not that far off, so we'll make it happen.
What are you going to do, write a book?
Yeah, no, you could write a book. I could sit here all day and listen to Hank.
Sometimes I think
it'll be the book according to Frank.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you the next one. You may have to call me doctor because I have a doctorate.
In what?
Education.
Oh, you do? From Villanova?
No, Temple.
When did you add Temple to the mix? I heard Villanova, Widener.
Let me tell you the story. Okay. I got my master's at Temple, and I was moving ahead for a doctorate. And that's when I got transferred to Widener and said, I don't need it. I don't want it. So I stopped. Okay. Then I got a job. They needed a teacher at Gwynedd Mercy to teach in special ed. So the good nun got in touch with me and asked me if I would want to teach these courses at Gwynedd. Amen. So she said, we need a copy of your transcript. And so forth. So I'm waiting, and she calls me up and she said, we knew you were a humble person, but why didn't you tell us you have a doctorate? I said, well, frankly, sister, I don't.
I don't
and
have a doctorate.
And she says, but I have a transcript that says you do. I said, could you send me a copy of it? So I, if you want to see it, I'll bring it over and I'll
bring
show it to you.
Bring it next time for the next show.
It's EDD. So I thought, figure out, when was it?
You just don't remember this time that you've worked on your.
I think it was 92. 1992. That's about. Well, no, it was earlier than that. Whatever.
Whatever.
I was at the point where I needed to do a comprehensive exam or something like that, and I did. I took that exam, but somewhere over the line, somebody goofed, and
gave you a doctorate.
So I figured.
I think when you turn 97, you should automatically get a doctorate anyway. They'd be like, you've lived this long. You have to be the best at something. Here's your doctorate.
I kind of could have gotten away with it. Every male principal in the city would know the difference.
They'd be like, well, you didn't have a doctorate yesterday. I do now.
Well, I always thought to myself, I would never want to be called doctor.
Well, that's what we're going to call you. Dr. Hank.
Dr. Hank.
Everybody, let's hear it for Dr. Hank.
Mr. B.
Mr. Dr. B.
Mr. B.
All right. So we're really going to go this time. But if you're close to 97, apply to Temple, get your doctorate. Do something nice for yourself and others today, according to Hank and Judy from Saskatoon. We'll be putting together our trip to Shen Yun. You're going to want to go. But thanks for watching. As always, we'll be here tomorrow. It'll be more boring tomorrow because Hank won't be there. But hopefully we'll see him and his doctorate very soon. But thanks for watching. Let's hear it for Hank and his birthday. And we'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Thanks for watching. Say bye, Hank.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. If you enjoyed today's morning show, make sure to follow us for more One Funny Mother content.
Okay, all right. Morse code is tapping.
And check out onefunnymotherstore.com for great new inappropriate swag. And for more exclusive content, consider becoming a supporter.
She got a bad leg.
Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow on One Funny Morning.